Welcome to the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine. UX introduces a simple formula for personal and business growth based around one principle. We can't solve big, valuable problems alone. Starting with this principle, UX equips and empowers us to pour ourselves into people and systems, scale authentically, and create a life of exponential freedom and impact. And now, let's get started with the latest episode of the UX Podcast. Hey, what's up, rock stars? It's Matt Johnson. Welcome back to the UX Podcast. And today we're going to talk about the unbreakable link and what we mean by that. And so this is going to be a solo episode. We're going to go deep on this particular topic for a few minutes and really talk about what I feel like is the kind of the missing ingredient, essentially. So if you are, if we're in the coaching, consulting, or any type of creative work, essentially, if we're in the trenches solving real problems for real clients, it is very, very easy if we focus on what we want, to realize that it's very difficult to get both the freedom and the impact that we want out of our business. And there is a very specific reason, I believe, for that. And it is the unbreakable link. And so we're going to talk about what kind of the missing ingredient is that gives us the ability to develop both exponential freedom and exponential impact in our lives and our business as a result of the problems that we solve. So the missing ingredient, I feel like, is the problem that we solve and how we solve it. And let's start with that. So in the world of UX, we think of problems in terms of two variables, both big and valuable. And I'll explain why that is and how that links up with all this freedom and impact stuff. So when we talk about a big problem, we want something that is either big in size or in scope. Scope could be that it affects a lot of people. Big could also be just it's severe or intense, as in it affects a very small number of people, but it's extremely painful. It causes absolute intense pain in their lives, psychological, emotional pain in their lives, or it's big in complexity. In other words, it's something that's just, it's a lot of moving parts, it's a lot of balls in the air, it's tough to pull off. So it could be big across any of those dimensions. But it has to be big in some way. It can't, if we want impact, it can't be a problem that's small. It can't be a problem that people don't really care about, that it doesn't really affect them very much, because that's not going to impact them very much when we solve it. It's also not going to give us a lot of opportunity for profit, which is kind of the big key to having any sort of financial freedom, and it also pays for the people that will freeze up our time and our location. So it's very difficult in my eyes to solve a small problem and then get a huge return and get exponential freedom and impact. So I think there's a lot of us out there that we've figured out a problem to solve, but it is not a big enough problem to solve. Now, the other dimension that I like to look at it in terms of the problem that we solve is valuable. Now, I define valuable very narrowly, which is people's willingness and ability to pay to have their problem solved, right? So a problem can be very big, it can be very intense, but unfortunately, if the group of people that are experiencing that problem can't afford to pay us to solve it, it's not a valuable problem in terms of this specific equation, right? So that is where we get into the realm of humanitarian work and philanthropy. So there's nothing wrong with that. And there's nothing wrong with having a business that attempts to bridge the gap between those two things. I know lots of people that use their business to drive philanthropy either directly or indirectly, and there's nothing wrong with that. However, if we want to have freedom and impact as a direct result in our business, we have to solve a problem that is not only big and intense and severe and complex, whatever the case is, but it also has to be valuable enough, and we have to solve it for a group of people that have the money to pay to have their problem solved. And here's the interesting thing. If you're like me, you might underestimate people's willingness and ability to pay. This is something that Dan Kennedy and guys like Jay Abraham as well and T. Harv Eker talk a lot about. We bring our own money issues, you know, a lot to the table, and I know I do. You know, with my Christian upbringing, there's definitely some. We've swung from believing that poverty was right to believing that wealth was right, and now somewhere in the middle, right? That it's relatively up to us to choose. So I've been all over the spectrum in terms of like money beliefs. And it's very easy for us to take our money beliefs into it. And then you have experiences like I did about a year ago, where I was sitting with people that had been listening to my one of my other podcasts and had invested. They were brand new in the business, had next to no money, and had invested, you know, in one case a grand, and another guy's case, he bought two $1,000 products from other coaches and experts in the space. And these are people that, you know, we wouldn't have thought had any money to spend. And then I recalled, you know, back when I got started in real estate 10 years ago, ago, me and my business partner put up $1,500 up front to get into a marketing program, which kind of helped us hit the ground running. We had no money. We were a couple of kids making $12 an hour, working corporate jobs, trying to get into real estate. So I think when we define what's a valuable problem and whether people are willing and able to pay us, make sure that we assess it honestly and realistically and not with our own preconceptions. So moving on, problem, big and valuable, that's the goal. The bigger and more valuable problem that we solve, the better the chance we have to experience freedom and impact that. Here's why. The reason why I call this episode The Unbreakable Link is because I believe that freedom and impact are unbreakably linked to the nature of the problem that we solve and how we solve it. The bigger the problem we solve, the more impact we have in the world, because when we solve that problem, we actually make people's life better in tangible ways, right? The more valuable problem we solve, the more value we can capture through our business, right? So in other words, when we solve a very valuable problem, there's a lot bigger pie available, so that when we take our piece of the pie, it ends up being just more pie, right? So so the pie would be how valuable the problem it is. How much money in the market is there that's being directed to solve that problem? If we're in a market where there's just not a lot of money being directed to solve the problem we want to solve, then we have to take that into consideration on our expectations. And it may mean that the only way to really have freedom and impact in our business might be to sell a lot of lower services, or even to productize and package up the information that we've learned in solving a problem for real clients and turn that into a system or a package or a product that we can sell, and sell a lot of them to make up for the fact that there's just not a lot of money being aimed at solving that problem. So those are a couple of things that I really look at when we look at businesses. And when we look at the link between the freedom and the impact that we have in our life, the first place I think we should be looking is actually at the problem that we solve and the system that we've created to solve the problem, not at the freedom and impact directly. Freedom and impact to me are side effects or benefits of solving a big, valuable problem in a systematic way, right? So that's kind of the way that I look at things, and hopefully that helps. Now, what's going to happen, as we get into more of the exponential economy, where there's lots of new emerging categories, high growth categories, there's going to be a lot of opportunities to solve big, valuable problems and capture a piece of a huge upside. So if we look at all the people who are, let's say the new wealthy, right? The Jeff Bezos, the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, what they've done is that they jumped onto, whether they knew it or not, I think Jeff Bezos was way intentional about it because he's super sharp, but Zuckerberg obviously got in and figured it out pretty quickly. They realized that they were in, or they put themselves in, huge emerging new categories. In other words, there was a problem that people, had always had, but didn't realize that it could be solved in this way. People always wanted goods and services and products faster, but Amazon figured out a way to use the internet to fulfill that human need in a new and interesting way. And as a result, they also hitched their bandwagon to this explosion of technology that made all these things possible. And so guess what? Jeff Bezos is, as of the time of this recording, one of, or now the richest man in the world. So we can do the same thing in our niches, right? So what we're looking for is an exploding, emerging, high growth category where there's an opportunity there where if we get in and position ourselves, that we can be a part of capturing some of the value, some of the money that's being thrown at that problem in a new and interesting and compelling way. We can get in there, position our service as a way to solve that problem and ride that trend, or ride that growth, that emerging new category. So what happens if we don't follow the formula, right? So the formula here is solve a big, valuable problem in a systematic way, right? And we'll get into the full formula for what a UX machine is in another episode. But I want to get into kind of why it starts right here with the root and the foundation being a big, valuable problem. So what happens if we solve a big problem that's not very valuable? Well, we're going to have massive impact, which is awesome. We might even have time freedom, but we're going to struggle with financial freedom. So what I mean by that is, if we solve a problem that's big and complex and severe and intense, or that a lot of people suffer from, whatever, it's big in some way, but we're solving it for people that either aren't willing to or don't have the money to pay to have that problem solved, we're not going to be able to have financial freedom. Now, we might solve a problem in such a way that we get time freedom, or when we might even get location freedom. Depends on how we structure the business. If we solve a business online through our own efforts, our own work, we could be completely location independent. We could have total and complete control over our time. But if that problem is not a valuable problem, we're not going to be able to capture very much value, and therefore we're going to struggle to have that actually translate into financial freedom. So in that particular case, if we found that problem and we're okay with it not being a super valuable problem that people will pay a lot of money to have it solved, the best solution, I believe, in that scenario is to keep costs low and scale the business up. A great example of this is Viral Marketing, which is the agency that I came out of. The CEO of that company, Frank Klesitz, is a mentor and a good friend and a client. The reason I bring them up is because Viral Marketing is the ultimate example of building a scaled out UX machine type business on what is essentially a big but not very valuable problem. And not that it's not valuable to the people who are paying for their service, because it absolutely is. What I mean by that is they're serving a market that only has an ability to pay up to a certain point, right? They're not able to hire $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000 a month for a full-blown digital marketing agency, right? Viral Marketing doesn't sell to Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 clients. They sell to SMB market, small, medium-sized business. So what they did is, Frank, being the genius that he is, figured out a way to solve a big problem that wasn't super valuable in monetary terms, but he was able to make it a valuable, compelling, enjoyable business to run by scaling it to the point where they have 500 plus clients and they have a packaged, defined, productized service that they sell that delivers a ton of value to the client, but it also fits within what they can and are willing and able to pay. Right. And so if we find ourselves solving a problem that people can only afford to pay up to a certain point, then we need to look really hard at the problem we decided to solve. And if we just decide to stay with that problem, follow an example of a company like Viral Marketing that's figured out how to solve a big problem that's not necessarily super valuable monetarily, but by serving a lot of clients at a specific level and keeping things very streamlined and systematized, they manage to deliver a ton of value to the market and solve a big, complex problem for a lot of people, but solve it for the small and medium-sized business market that can't pay $5,000-$10,000 a month for a full-blown agency. So that's an example of how do you solve a big problem that's not super valuable, but still make it work, okay? So let's look at the flip side. What happens if we solve a small problem that's super valuable? Well, this awesome just means our potential pool of clients is limited, right? So what I mean by that is, let's say we find a problem that's extremely valuable, where we find a slice of the market that the clients have the money to spend, they are willing and able to pay to have their problem solved. There's just not a lot of them, right? Or that we have a specific profile of people that we want to serve, and so that it limits it in some way. Nothing wrong with that. We can build a great business by helping a very small number of people who have a really valuable problem that they want solved. Tim Ferriss is one of my favorite examples. So Tim Ferriss talks about, he uses this phrase to describe his whole little business and media empire. He says, everything I produce is either free or ultra premium. And first of all, I love that phrase. And it does perfectly describe what Tim Ferriss does, right? So the podcast is free. The blog is free. The books are under $25. Anybody can afford and interact with 90 to 95% of Tim Ferriss's content. Now, then the other 5% are his like live events and like ultra premium stuff that he offers that's thousands of dollars, right? Because he's only taking and appealing to the extremely valuable 5% slice of his audience. And he's solving a problem directly for that very small group of people, but solving a very valuable problem for them. And so that's an approach that we can take. And anybody can find that it's really just about diving deep and really getting to know our market better and finding that very valuable slice of the market where the way that we solve the problem is more valuable to them than it is to 95% of the rest of the market. And we can make a very good living and a very good life and a very good business by finding that slice of the market and zeroing in and focusing on just those folks. My podcast production agency is actually a pretty good example of that. I have a very specific client profile, coach, consultant, or creative agency owner who wants to connect with the coaches and consultants. These are the people that can afford, $2,000 a month for a marketing system that puts them in touch with the exact right people that they want to have as strategic partners or clients on podcast conversations, and at the same time, nurturing their own list, their own audience, with content. So it fulfills a couple of different purposes. But I have a very like specific type of client that we work with, and my agency is capped out. And whenever we hit that, we stop taking on new clients because I have a system and I have a staff that delivers the service exactly how I want it. And it only works, and it works best and it's most valuable for a very specific type of client. And so that specific example is a great example of solving a very valuable problem for a small slice of the market. So let's. I want to talk about the link here and really get in on what I mean by like the link between how solving the problem in a certain way affects the freedom and the impact we have, because I want to make that crystal clear. So what happens when we do it right and we solve a big, valuable problem? So we've looked at the freedom side first. When we solve a big, valuable problem, the closer to the cutting edge we are in our problem solving, the higher and the more sustainable our fees and profits are because of lack of competition. By definition, if we're on the cutting edge, we are rare and valuable in our category, right? It takes that kind of rare and valuable skill to really solve a big, valuable problem. So what happens is that's what creates the opportunity for higher profit. Higher profit creates the opportunity for financial freedom because higher profits allows us to add leverage through people and systems, either by flat out hiring employees, hiring contractors, hiring vendors, or bringing on automation, technology, software, and all those things that can amplify or even replace human beings in our process. So then people and systems leverage creates the potential for time freedom, right? So we get some of our time back because we're able to pay people and systems to take some of the work off. And then if we use our profits to invest in leverage, we actually create the potential for exponential freedom. And exponential freedom is that combination of both time and financial freedom. So when we find the right combination of leverage, that's what we get, time and financial freedom. And that's all directly linked to solving a big, valuable problem. It starts there. If we don't solve a big, valuable problem, it has ripple effects all the way down the lines that affects our profit, our ability to bring on people and systems, and our ability to leverage ourselves to the point where we have exponential freedom. So now let's look at the other side, the impact side of the equation, okay? The closer to the cutting edge we are when we solve a big, valuable problem, the more breathing room we have to experiment with people and systems. We're not competing against 15 or 20 or 30 or 100 other companies who have already solved the same problem the same way that we are, right? So we're solving a big, valuable problem in a new and compelling way. That also gives us the breathing room to separate ourselves from the competition and carve out our own space. It's that breathing room that lets us create a system that delivers value through people and systems rather than through our time, effort, and energy. And this is the trap that a lot of us fall into, which is that we figure out a way to solve a big, valuable problem, and we're on the cutting edge, and our skills are rare and valuable, and people are loving it, and there's demand for our service and all this stuff. The problem is, if we don't separate ourselves from the competition, then all the demand is really for us. It's for people like wanting to rent our brain, which can only go so far. We're always going to hit a limit where we can only rent so much of our brain. So the bigger the problem that we solve, especially when we solve it in a systematic way, a systematic and sustainable and profitable way, the bigger opportunity we have for an exponential impact, where we can have an impact directly on our clients, but we can also have an impact through the team that we serve and through the tribe that follows what we teach, and they go out and they impact other people in the world by hearing what they hear from us and taking what they learn from us. And so that's really what we're after. Like, I'm not just after exponential freedom so that I can go and have, you know, sit with my laptop at the beach and run my business. There's a lot of ways to get that. What I want is I want exponential freedom and impact. And if you're listening to this podcast, you probably do too. And so it all starts with the root. And so there's an unbreakable link between problem solving, freedom, and impact. It all starts, everything, all the exponential freedom, all the exponential impact that we want to get out of our business starts with solving a big, valuable problem. And so hopefully you got benefit and value out of this. I hope it gave you a lot of things to think about, to go back, maybe even back to the drawing board and relook at the problem that we're solving and really see if it's the right problem. Is it both big and valuable? Because if it's not, it's going to directly affect the level of freedom and impact that we have in very specific and predictable ways. And there is a solution for every one of those scenarios. But the ideal is to find a big, valuable problem to solve and to solve it in a systematic, profitable, sustainable way so that we can bring in people and systems and pour ourselves into those people and systems rather than directly pouring into our clients with our own time, effort, and energy. It's the only way to really produce exponential freedom and exponential impact in our business. Now, I believe that clarity releases energy. So I hope that this episode creates clarity for you by laying out a path forward in your business. Now, if you're interested in starting a podcast like this to help you break into a new industry or to establish yourself as an authority in a niche market, let's talk. We have a complete done-for-you podcasting service. That is my agency that I'm building and growing, and I'd love to talk to you about what we can potentially do for you. You can learn more at pursuingresults.com to get a sense of what our service is all about. And if you're ready, if you're really seriously thinking about starting a podcast, I'm happy to brainstorm your ideas and talk about the positioning of your podcast within the market, something that you can take away whether we end up working together or not. So you can grab a time on my calendar for a podcast brainstorm call at bookjohnson.com. That is bookjohnson.com. I just want to thank you again for listening to the show, for leaving us a rating and a review on iTunes, and more importantly, for investing your time, your energy, your attention into the show. It really means the world to me that you would do that. So again, this is the UX Podcast, where we learn how to turn a rockstar business into a UX machine, and we'll see you on the next episode.